All right, Alexander, let's revisit the Michael Flynn saga, but let's take a look at what happened to Flynn from inside the UK. And of course, if we're going to talk about Russiagate and the UK, we're going to talk about the number one guy there that was running the show of disinformation in the United Kingdom, not Christopher Steele. It was another CIA FBI asset by the name of Stefan Halper, who I think is better well known as Source Number Two, is how people may know him from all the reports that have come out about Crossfire Hurricane. So Alexander, take us into what's going on here with Halper and his supposed connection to Flynn, because he boasted about a connection to Flynn, which from what I understand, he never had. There's an article in Zero Hedge which covers this in great detail, entitled, Did the FBI Operatives Lie, Launch Flynn Investigation, and Did the IG Horowitz Run Cover? And there's also a Twitter thread, which also goes into detail about this, from Undercover Huber, which goes into detail. I'll be posting up those tweets as we go through this video, so you can read what Undercover Huber says about Halper's alleged ties to Flynn. So get into this latest twist and turn in Russiagate from the UK side of things.
Yes, can I just say that there are two absolutely critical players in getting Russiagate going. One is Christopher Steele, who is a British agent. The other is Stefan Halper, who is American, but who has an academic position in Cambridge University, and who is well known to have been a long-standing US intelligence operative and then asset or informer, if that's the word that they like to use now. But he was clearly based in London throughout this period, and he turns up all the time. So he was a key player in setting up the Papadopoulos affair, the George Papadopoulos affair. He acted as a quite open provocateur with George Papadopoulos, and that's not disputed. And it turns out that he had a very significant role in the Flynn affair. I am going to make a guess. It is an informed guess, but as I always am careful to say, when I do guess, I say that it's a guess. I don't say that it's a fact, but it is a guess based upon my very deep knowledge now of the Russiagate facts. I think we will find out eventually that Stefan Halper had a role in Russiagate at least as big as Christopher Steele's, and probably significantly greater, because he had the connections with both British and US intelligence that, it seems to me, went higher than Christopher Steele's did. So, you know, I think that Stefan Halper played a central role in orchestrating all this, though the exact extent to which he did is not yet known, because it hasn't been looked at. Anyway, coming to Flynn, we now know that Flynn was the subject of a counterintelligence probe by the FBI, which started from at least as far back as August 2016. I mean, this is not disputed. It is a verifiable fact. We didn't find that out so much, by the way, from Horowitz's various reports, which I will come to very briefly in a moment. We found it out from the information that Sidney Powell, Flynn's lawyer, has been digging out from the Justice Department and the FBI. But Flynn, who is, let us remember, a lieutenant general in the US Armed Forces, a former high-ranking intelligence official in the United States government, the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, a man with an unimpeachable and impeccable reputation, was being investigated from August 2016 by the FBI as a potential player in some kind of mysterious, bizarre Russian collusion between the Donald Trump campaign and Russia. Now, why go after Flynn, and why go after him so early? Well, this, it seems, is where Halper comes in, because Halper, it seems, did have some kind of very, very ephemeral contacts with Flynn, going back to an event which Halper helped set up in Cambridge University in 2014, you know, sometime before all of these events happened. And the assumption is, I don't think it's an assumption, I think it's more than just an assumption. I think it's a very, very well-informed deduction, is that it is Halper who was basically telling the US intelligence community that Flynn is somebody to watch, that he's the person, he's one of the major contacts, the bridge between Russia, supposedly, and the Donald Trump campaign. And that it is, in fact, Halper who got the whole investigation of Flynn, the counterintelligence investigation, going in August 2016. It seems to me all that we know about Halper, about Flynn, about the FBI, and the way that counterintelligence investigation was launched, it makes it complete sense that it was Halper. And if it wasn't Halper, who else was it? I mean, we have there's no reason to think that it was anyone else. So that logically does point to Halper. Now, I'm just going to say one other quick thing before you turn and start asking me questions, which is, of course, I would love to know, and I'm sure lots of people would know, whether Halper and Christopher Steele had any communications with each other. Now, I think we can take it as read that the two men know each other. I mean, the world of intelligence is small. These are two very senior intelligence officers. They know a lot of the same people. They both know, for example, Sir Richard Dearlove, who's the former head of MI6. They're both friends with this person. So it's logical that they must know each other, and I'm sure they do. But did they speak to each other? Did Halper perhaps have a role in the Steele dossier? Did Christopher Steele give Halper any tips? Did they exchange information, as the word goes? I think that's an interesting question, and I would love to know what the answer is. And who else in Britain knew about it?
Yeah, very good questions indeed. But let's go back to that Cambridge seminar, that meeting that supposedly Halper helped set up. But there's a lot of questions as to whether Halper even attended that meeting or was able to attend, even though it seems that 2014 seminar, that meeting, is what Halper used to get the CIA and the FBI on top of Flynn and start monitoring Flynn. So let me read you four quick tweets, Alexander, from Undercover Huber, and I think it'll set up your response as to how involved Horowitz was in uncovering this, as well as what Halper's role was all of this, and how Halper helped set up the monitoring and the targeting of Flynn using another UK professor, I believe she was, in the case, so that he could try to build this Russia narrative with Flynn here. So let me get you these four tweets here, four quick tweets. From Undercover Huber, why did the IG report completely ignore Stefan Halper's lies to the FBI about General Flynn and leave open the possibility that Halper may even have triggered the opening of the CI case against him? At that debriefing between Halper and the FBI, Halper made up a story about when he witnessed a suspicious cab ride after Flynn spoke at an event. He supposedly shared a cab with someone Halper said was affiliated with Russian intelligence. This event very likely refers to when Flynn spoke at the Cambridge Intelligence Seminar in 2014, and the suspicious Russian-linked person supposedly in the cab was Svetlana Lokova, who also attended and briefly spoke to Flynn. No one remembers Halper attending the event because, in truth, Halper was not there. Sworn court filing by Lokova in case filed against Halper himself. Halper's lawyers even noted Lokova's claim it was a falsehood to say Halper attended the February 2014 Cambridge event. and then never defended it as true, just that it wasn't defamatory and non-actionable. That's because it's not true. Halper wasn't there. So over here, Alexander, we have Halper setting up Flynn to be targeted by the FBI and the CIA and connecting Flynn to a UK citizen, but of Russian origin, mm-hmm. who happened to be at that event mm-hmm. and spoke briefly with Flynn, and then took Halper, from what I understand, took Halper to court mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of the defamatory statements Halper made about her, and that is Svetlana Lokova, because it was inferred by Halper, and you can take us back to the history, mm-hmm. that Flynn was having an affair with Lokova, which proved to be completely untrue. But I think that that's all the mystique that Halper was trying to create
yes.
with regards to Flynn, that he was deeply embedded with the Russians, whether it was going to an RT conference in, I believe it was 2016, or whether it was this, you know, supposed affair with this Russian professor, this Russian teacher yeah. In the UK. This is what makes Halper such a sinister person in this Russiagate affair.
Yeah. Well, let's deal with Lokova, because, of course, this is the story that Halper is trying to spin, which, can I just say straight away, is straight out of a spy thriller, you know, the Russian femme fatale drawing the American general into a sinister web. This is what Lokova is extremely angry about, and rightly so. She is, as you correctly said, a British citizen. She is a person with an academic position. She has had no history or background in the Russian intelligence services that anybody knows about, but she did carry out research into this subject, which looks at things that the predecessors of today's Russian intelligence agencies were doing decades upon decades ago. In other words, she is a historian. She is not in any shape or form a Russian intelligence asset. There is no reason to think that she is. And the kind of work that she was doing at the University of Cambridge was not of a sort that you would expect an intelligence asset to be carrying out. And various people who have known about her there have vouched for her in that respect. I mean, she was not an asset. Secondly, it is not true that she and Flynn had any kind of relationship. I mean, they met at this event. They clearly exchanged some pleasantries. There were then some rather friendly emails that passed between them. And that was all. There's nothing more than that, absolutely nothing more than that. And here we have Halper. He comes along and he spins a spy story. He insinuates that this woman, this Lokova, is actually a Russian spy. She's not. No evidence that she is. Nobody who knows her thinks that she is. Nobody in Cambridge who knows it thinks that she is. And I should say, by the way, Cambridge is a place where, believe me, they would know spies. I mean, there are lots of spies in Cambridge from all kinds of places. If somebody is a spy in that kind of academic community, which I know about, I mean, I know people who've been there, they would very quickly figure that out. Nobody suspects her being any sort of spy, but Halper is spinning the story that she is, and he's spinning the story that there's some kind of relationship between her and Flynn, and he is inventing, because that's what he's doing, he's inventing a story that the two of them went into a cab together with the insinuations that go with all of that. So he is insinuating that somebody is a Russian agent when they are not, and he is insinuating that there is a relationship between that Russian agent and General Flynn when there is not, and he's embroidering all of that by inventing, or fabricating, if you prefer, a absolutely non-existent incident of them going together in a cab, which cannot have been true because he wasn't there. You couldn't have seen something when he wasn't there to see it. So that whole thing is an invention. Now, we talked about inventions many times in Russiagate. There is another invention going on simultaneously in Russiagate, which is, of course, the Steele dossier, most of which, as we now know, is invented. So one person's helper is inventing stories. Another person, Christopher Steele, is inventing stories. Both of this is happening in Britain. Coincidence? Chance? And it's all happening at the same time. August 2016, when all of these things are circulating, when all these investigations are being launched. Is this chance? Is this coincidence?
No, it's sticky. It can't be. Go on.
It can't be. Now, just quickly touch on Horowitz. The reason Horowitz doesn't deal with these issues, and Horowitz has explained this many times, is that he is not an investigator. He is there to look at process. The reason he doesn't touch on these issues is because no one in the FBI is prepared to talk about them with him. He can only look at papers, and he can't go behind what people say. So if people lie to him, unless he can prove that those lies by documents, he's not able to carry out investigations. Now, we need investigations. I mean, I'm asking questions on this program. I hope those investigations, those proper investigations, are going to be carried out. We've heard about John Durham. We know that there's another US attorney now looking into the FBI and the Justice Department's handling of the Flynn case. But we need somebody to go out and start asking serious questions of Halper, obviously, of Steele, definitely, of Larkova, who's got obviously a tale to tell. We have got to get to the truth of all of this. And at the moment, we don't have the truth. And expecting Horowitz to do it for us is to misunderstand his role. He can only do a very small amount. He can't go beneath the surface. It's remarkable how bad the surface was. But, you know, we're looking there at the surface, the little bit of the iceberg that just tips above the water. There's a vast amount below the surface, which Horowitz cannot see. And that's what we need to find out about. We need to find out whom Halper was talking to. I mean, there's reports, for example, which I've seen in the media, that he had some kind of connection with the senior official at the Office of Net Assessment, who is alleged to have been the person who leaked to David Ignatius the information about Flynn's conversations with the Russian ambassador. A criminal offence, remember. But, you know, I've seen what looked to be very, very plausible connections between that person in the Office of Net Assessment and Stefan Halper. Is that true? Very possibly. But let's not just guess. Let's find out by getting these people questioned, so that we know the answers to these things. And if that is true, and if it, you know, we know more and more about Halper, then we can begin to understand these events in August 2016 much better than we do now.
Yeah, and we need to get to the bottom of this. So let me just read you another couple of excerpts from the Zero Hedge article and Undercover Huber's investigation of this, Alexander. And I want to see if you can clear this up for us, because I think this is an important point that the article makes. So we begin. What else did the FBI have? Their own laughable predicate appears to be that Flynn worked for Trump, attended an RT dinner. At the time, Representative Adam Schiff had previously appeared on RT and was linked to Russians. He was the former head of the DIA under Russian Reset Obama. Ah, but all those things were already true between August 1st and August 10, 2016, which is when the FBI opened cases on Page, Papadopoulos, and Manafort, but not Flynn. That didn't happen until August 15. He's the odd one out. Flynn obviously already worked for Trump. He already had these links, and he'd already attended the RT dinner long ago. The thin gruel of Russian links and working for Trump was enough to open cases on all the others, but not Flynn. But what did the FBI have extra before they opened the case? Stephen Halper was telling them about being previously acquainted with Flynn, which almost certainly refers to the February 2014 Cambridge dinner, where he was never acquainted with Flynn at all. And even if Halper told this lie after the case was opened on Flynn, the FBI mustn't have found it credible because they never tried to properly investigate it, and then even tried to close the case anyway. So that means at best, the lie came between August 15, 2016 and January 4th, 2017. What else was happening between August 16 and January 17? Oh yeah, the FBI was using a person they should have suspected of lying to dirty up people, Halper, as the CHS wearing a wire on Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and others, and relying on Halper as source number two in the FISA warrant apps. Then incredibly, after their own source lies to them about Flynn to dirty him up, the FBI have the audacity to charge Flynn with lying to them. Corrupt dirty cops isn't an adequate description. And for all we know, Halper is still on Ray's FBI books as a paid confidential source. What do you make of what I just read you?
Lots of things. Now, can I first of all begin by saying that, as I understand it, he is still a paid confidential source. I don't think a Halper has ever been sacked. I'm sure he hasn't been. And by the way, he isn't just an FBI source, a paid FBI source. He is paid by lots of other agencies within the US intelligence community. So, I mean, we are talking about somebody who is still, as I understand it, an active informer. So that's something to make clear. Now, lots of things, lots and lots of things. Can I just also briefly touch on this, very briefly, this touch on this issue of the famous or infamous Putin dinner, which Flynn attended along with Jill Stein, along with lots and lots and lots of other people. We now know, though it was not disclosed at the time or for many months afterwards or during the whole business of Flynn's prosecution, that immediately after the dinner, Flynn reported to the Defense Intelligence Agency about everything that happened at that dinner and gave them a comprehensive debrief. So to argue that he acted in an inappropriate or compromising way at that dinner is absolutely not true. Now, why was Flynn, you know, why did they start surveillance on Flynn a few days after they started surveillance on the others, on Carter Page, on Manafort, on Papadopoulos? Answer is, I don't know. I just seriously don't know. But I'm going to make a guess. And that is that at that stage, which we're talking about August, he is not yet being discussed in great detail. In fact, I'm not even sure he's discussed at all in the Steele dossier. The Steele dossier then starts to bring in Flynn, I think sometime after. And that's probably when they start getting information from Halper. For all I know, Halper is asked about Flynn. You know, we just don't know how all this happens, but it's at that point that questions start getting asked. We don't know the answers to all of these things, but I'm pretty sure that Flynn was under surveillance, very detailed surveillance. He was the subject of a counter-espionage investigation. I'm going to make a guess, I think it's an informed guess, that he was placed under electronic surveillance. There might be a FISA warrant. We know that 29 other people, as well as those that we know about, were the subject of FISA warrants. And we know that the FISA court is looking into all of this. The reason I think there might be a FISA warrant, but I'm not saying there was, it's possible, is that you may remember that in I think it was November, in November 2016, we know that there were some contacts between Jared Kushner and Flynn and the Russian ambassador. And I think there were even some meetings between the Russian ambassador and Kushner, Flynn, in Trump Tower. This is perfectly appropriate contacts, and they were talking about Syria. And there was all kinds of stories that suddenly appeared months afterwards, about a year afterwards, that they were talking about setting up some kind of secret back channel, through the Russian embassy to carry out secret negotiations with the Russian government. We now know, by the way, that was completely untrue. But I said at the time that it looked to me as if those conversations were clearly being monitored. In other words, electronic surveillance was being carried out because, we have all this detail about all of this, which gives every impression of having been based on surveillance. So it looks to me, I'm going to say this, I think Flynn was placed under surveillance. And I think he wasn't just Flynn, because of course Flynn speaks to Trump. He's his national security advisor, after all. He speaks to Kushner. So that means that through Flynn, they're able to get surveillance on lots of people. I mean, bear in mind that the point of FISA warrants is to carry out surveillance on people who are valid who are counterintelligence targets of counterintelligence probes. And we know that Flynn was one. And that may be that, I'm sorry, a lot of guesswork here, but we're trying to join up dots. That may be where Helper comes in, because of course they might need to provide information to the FISA court. And Helper perhaps is the person who's doing it for them. He's giving them information which they can package to the FISA court to carry out an investigation there.
All right. Well, we've been saying that we need Steele back in the US so he can testify. We need Helper also in the US so he can testify. No doubt about it. Helper has a lot of information to give, a lot of information. We'll leave it there. Alexander Mercuris, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Smash that like button. Go to PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Please donate to us. Your donation really helps us out a whole lot. And go to the Deran shop. Pick up some merchandise, shirts, polo shirts, V-necks, all kinds of good stuff. And pick up our world-famous magic mugs, which when you drink from the magic mug, I think the entire Russiagate story will become crystal clear, even though it is an extremely complicated and tangled story that we've been covering now for almost 2 years. And I mean, it just keeps on getting stranger and stranger, but dots are
Absolutely.
connecting.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tangled web, but we are untangling it. And can I just say, I mean, I would repeat again to our viewers that one of the most remarkable things about us is that our analysis of Russiagate has been proved consistently right. We have no sources, we have no secret sources, we don't talk to the FBI or the CIA or the Russians, God help us. We work it all out from what we read in the media, and yet we have got it consistently right. And why do we get it consistently right? Because we drink from magic mugs like this. These provide us with the energy and enlightenment that enables us to probe into the very darkest and most tangled aspects of this extraordinary story. And they are, without any hesitation and qualification, the best mugs in the world. I speak about this as the world expert on the subject, having had hundreds, possibly thousands of mugs in my time, as somebody who, is an absolute coffee, tea addict, has to sort of go through a whole day drinking continuously in order to keep going. So I know all about mugs, and these are without any qualification the best. They are the best because they are the right size. You can put a good amount of tea or coffee in them. They are the best because they're light and strong. They are the best because they look beautiful and feel beautiful. And they are the best because they are absolutely perfect and hard wearing. You don't see a chip or a crack or any element of discoloration there. I haven't broken a single one. I break mugs constantly. I haven't broken a single one of my Duran mugs because they're so well made. And they look perfect. They look as good as new, even though I've owned mine now for well over a year and a half. Now, this particular mug, by the way, has the Russian Federation on it. Remember that famous dinner that Flynn and Steele and all the others attended? No doubt, since it happened in Russia with RT, you would have found double-headed eagles like that. And as we know, nothing bad happened at that meeting. On the contrary, there was a lot of good exchanges of useful information. But you would get even better from ARC mugs. You get sustenance and enlightenment if you drink from them. The best mugs in the world. And we also have the best t-shirts in the world. 100% cotton, beautifully made. With the double-headed eagle of the Duran there, which is different, by the way, from the Russian. And they fit marvelously. They look amazing. They're incredibly comfortable to wear. And they are 100% cotton, just as our amazing polo shirts are. The best polo shirts, without any hesitation, in the world. And I would remind our viewers that our t-shirts come long-sleeved and short-sleeved, and we also have V-neck shirts. We don't just have shirts, the best shirts in the world and the best mugs in the world. We have other great things. We have hats, hoodies and stickers, and we have brilliant ebooks, one on the subject of Russiagate, which we will need updating. It's difficult to update an ebook on Russiagate because so much is coming out at the moment. It's so much, floods of information are pouring out, but we will do it. We will do it very soon. We've also got ebooks on Ukrainegate, another tangled web, even more preposterous than Russiagate. And we've also got ebooks on Brexit and on that very strange and sinister and troubling tale, which is the Epstein saga. And lastly, we've had a new one on the oil price crash. So you will find all these things in our shop. You will support the Duran if you come to our shop and buy these things, and you will feel absolutely enthusiastic when you own these great things. So don't hold back. Come to our shop. Buy these great things. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.